It's the season for college football bowl games, 24 of them, before the Rose Bowl winds up all the action on Thursday night. Commentator John Feinstein joins me now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. I assume you have watched every minute of every game so far.
Would I miss a minute of the Seattle Bowl, the Las Vegas Bowl, the GalleryFurniture.com Bowl, not to mention the Motor City Bowl, the GMAC Bowl? I could go on, as you know. This is the time of year when college football teams and coaches and players get to validate often mediocre seasons by playing in bowl games. There are 10 teams, Bob, who were invited to postseason bowls who lost at least 5 games, and one team that finished 5-6. How good is that?
Likewise, there are also some very good teams that are precluded from being in the major bowls.
Well, they're precluded from being in the major bowls and in the minor bowls. We're talking about two different problems here. One of the problems, as we've discussed ad infinitum, is the bowl championship series, which lets computers decide the national championship and who plays for it rather than players and coaches. But in the minor bowls, these bowls I was just referencing, the ones played leading up to the BCS bowls, the system in place allows the bowls to sign contracts with conferences so that teams are locked into bowls. The best example of how corrupt the system is was a few years ago. Miami of Ohio was 10-1, including a win at North Carolina, which finished 6-5. Guess which one of those teams went to a bowl game that year?
But you think it's good that there are all these bowl games?
I actually think it is good that there are all these bowl games, as long as we understand that it's just a validation for players, coaches, fans, alumni to celebrate something, even if it's celebrating 6-5, as it often is. There's nothing wrong with allowing these bowls to exist.
College football season used to end on New Year's Day. What was wrong with that?
There was nothing wrong with that other than the fact that we didn't have a playoff. But you knew on the last day, New Year's Day, you were going to get the four big bowl games, the Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and then the Fiesta Bowl came into the mix, too, to make it five, which was fine. But now it's all over the map. You don't know on New Year's Day which bowls are going to be played. There's one bowl named after a restaurant. The Cotton Bowl is still played, but they started at 10 in the morning, and there's about 17 people watching. And then the championship game is actually played now January 3rd, 2 days after New Year's Day. So it's become a mishmash. There's absolutely no sense to it, no sense of tradition. The big defense of the bowl championship series is always the tradition of the bowls, but they've already destroyed the tradition of the bowls anyway.
And it may not decide a champion to anyone's satisfaction anyway.
Well, exactly, because if Nebraska beats Miami in the Rose Bowl on January 3rd, which is the purported national championship game, a lot of the writers who vote in the AP poll will vote for the winner of the Oregon Colorado game in the Fiesta Bowl as the national champion. So you'll have the AP poll with the Oregon-Colorado winner as the national champion. You'll have the coaches poll where they're required to vote for the Miami-Nebraska winner as the champion. So we'll have co-champions yet again, and we'll be right back where we were in the 1960s.
And you'll vote for whom?
Well, I'm going to vote for Army. They won the Army-Navy game.
Thank you, John.
Goodbye, Bob.
The comments of John Feinstein, author of The Last Amateurs, Playing for Glory and Honor in Division I College Basketball.